interesting market dynamics at play right now in the free agent market. We're seeing starting pitchers have been flying off the board left and right, but what about position players? We'll find that only one position player to appear on the top 50 free agents list by MLB Trade Rumors, ESPN, and Fangraphs has signed, and that position player was a San Francisco Giant and remains a San Francisco Giant in Brandon Belt. So I want to look at the state of the market and relate it to the Giants' needs and the Giants' situation. And of course, we're still kind of up in the air with Alex Wood and Alex Cobb. So we'll give the latest on that and also where the market stands and what the Giants can do and try to accomplish with a lockout deadline coming up, a deadline that's going to see us go into a lockout if a new CBA isn't reached before then. And teaser, I don't think it's going to happen. So all of that coming up next on today's Locked On Giants podcast.
You are Locked On Giants, your daily San Francisco Giants podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to Locked On Giants, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Caspick, and on this show, we provide daily episodes Monday through Friday talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also simple, passionate, and accessible to all. I'm a former contributor for the baseball statistics and analysis websites Beyond the Box Score and Rotographs. I've been podcasting about the Giants since 2015, and I'm a lifelong fan. Thank you for making Locked On Giants your first listen every day. We're free and available on all platforms, now including YouTube as well. And coming up on today's show, as I said, I want to talk about the state of the free agent market. It has been a weird offseason so far for, you know, in terms of free agency, and we've got a huge deadline upcoming in the middle of next week. We're facing a potential lockout starting on Thursday of this upcoming week with the expiration of the collective bargaining agreement. And with a lockout, that would mean a freeze on transactions. And so I think that's part of the reason why we've seen more activity than usual among free agents so far. But when we take a closer look at who's signing, we'll find that it's almost exclusively pitchers. In fact, just one of the 62 players to appear on at least one of the top 50 free agents lists by MLB Trade Rumors, ESPN, and Fangraphs, just one has been a position player, and that was Brandon Belt. But six of the 23 starting pitchers to appear on at least one of those lists have signed, and that doesn't include Alex Wood or Alex Cobb, with whom the Giants might have deals, at least with Alex Wood. It does seem like they may have a deal. Maybe it's just pending a physical that he needs to take and he wasn't able to do yet because of the holiday. Maybe he wanted, you know, didn't want to fly out to take a physical with the holiday upcoming. So hopefully there's some resolution with that, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. But the market dynamics at play are just very interesting to me because why is it that starting pitchers are just flying off the board like this and no position players have signed? I mean, Brandon Belt signing as the one of, 27 position players? Yeah, to appear on at least one top 50 list. And he's a bit of an exception because of the qualifying offer. Yes, he was a free agent. He could sign with any team. He could have signed with any team. But you know, the way that he ended up back with the Giants was via the qualifying offer. So even that is an unusual kind of circumstance. So it's kind of crazy that the rest of the free agent market, nobody has signed. Like when we look at who are the top players by expected average annual value among position players, just in terms of that being an easy way to tell us who are some of the best position players available, you've got Carlos Correa, Corey Seager, Freddie Freeman, Marcus Semien, Trevor Story, Javier Baez, Anthony Rizzo. That's in the infield. In the outfield, Nick Castellano, Starling Marte, Michael Conforto, Mark Canna, Seiya Suzuki, Avisail Garcia. A lot of free agents, a lot of good ones, especially in the infield. and nobody has signed except Brandon Belt. And then for starters, we're on the verge, potentially, if Alex Wood and Alex Cobb do in fact hammer out deals with the San Francisco Giants, more than a third of the starting pitchers to appear on at least one top 50 list would have signed by that point. And when we look at the dynamics of the actual deals themselves, many of you know, if you've been following the show at all, that I've taken those predictions by MLB Trade Rumors, ESPN, and Fangraphs, and I've averaged their predictions to come up with the average expected years, average annual value, and total guaranteed money for each of these players to appear on at least one list. So when we compare that to the actual year's average annual value and totals that the players are getting, I've looked at the overall numbers, and then I've broken it down by position, starter, reliever, and position player. And I've also broken it down by the San Francisco Giants with their two deals so far for DeSclafani and Belt. But the overall numbers for free agents right now, predictions versus actual, a total prediction of 18.67 years and an actual years handed out, guaranteed years in free agency of 22 years. So 18% above predicted years. The average annual value was predicted to be $12.9 million among the free agents who have signed so far. And the actual was $14.2 million, 10% above expected. But then the total money, which is not surprising given that the years have been higher, predicted $242.6 million, actual $295.9 million, 22% above prediction. And so it's even hotter among starting pitchers. They've gotten 27% more guaranteed money than predicted, 23% more years, and 10% more average annual value. So for position players, there's only Brandon Belt, so it's not really right to look at, you know, the one position player. But basically, I'm just using this to demonstrate starting pitchers, there's clearly a greater demand for starting pitchers right now than there is at other positions. It's kind of crazy that not a single position player outside of Belt has found a new deal yet. Yet we've seen $236.5 million committed to starting pitchers. So coming up next, I want to talk about what the Giants have been able to do with their contracts compared to these inflated numbers I'm talking about with the rest of the league. Have the Giants given out more years, more total money to Belt and DeSclafani than predicted, or are they one of the few teams who has come in with reasonable deals so far? And of course, there's the reported deal for Alex Wood as well. So all of that coming up next. But first, it's the most wonderful time of the year, Black Friday. Built is going all out to make this Black Friday weekend the most delicious Black Friday that ever was in the history of Black Fridays. They've got new limited time flavors, new types of bars, and a winter wonderland of a deal. If you want high-end deliciousness at a discount all through Black Friday weekend, get at least 20% off anything and everything at Built.com with promo code LOCKED20. They've got new flavors like Ruby Chocolate Puffs with marshmallowy goodness and Lemon Dipped Cheesecake Puffs. They've also got a new bar, the Built Crave Bar. It's a Built Black Friday weekend that isn't complete without the word free. Buy any box of Built Bars through Sunday and get two of their brand new candy bars, Built Crave, for free. You can get 20% off Built Bars, two free Crave Bars, all at Built.com. Plus, you can get 60% off Built Broth and Built Boost, and 40% off Built Swag. Just enter code LOCKED20 at Built.com. All right, as promised, I want to talk about the Giants' contracts that they've handed out, and what those look like compared to what the predicted contracts were for those two players. I really wish they would finalize their deal that looks like it will eventually be finalized for Alex Wood, because I personally am kind of a nerd, and I like entering these numbers into my spreadsheet and seeing what it spits out in terms of, you know, what the overall market looks like and what the Giants signings look like compared to the overall market. Thanks again for making Locked On Giants your first listen every day. We're free and available on all platforms. So the Giants have made two signings among players to appear on at least one top 50 list. All of these, Brandon Belt and Anthony DeSclafani, both appeared on all three top 50 lists. And Alex Wood, surprisingly, only appeared on two of the top 50 lists. But that signing is not done. So we're looking at Belt and DeSclafani. So the predicted total years for those two combined were four. And the actual years combined, three. DeSclafani got 3 years, Brandon Belt got one. And the predicted average annual value for those two was $14.2 million. And the actual average annual value they got was $15.2 million. So 7% above the expected average annual value. But the total money that those two were predicted to command was $53.9 million. And the total money they got was $54.4 million. And so in conclusion, this is a really kind of, these are two deals that look really fair. And when we compare that to the inflated numbers we're seeing across the league right now, there's really no other way to say it but that the Giants have done well with these two deals so far. They've gotten fair deals for two quality players who were key contributors for them last season. And the reported deal for Alex Wood was from Jeff Passan. He said 2 years for more than $10 million per season. Now, the predicted contract for Alex Wood comes in at 2.5 years and $10.5 million per season. So if the Giants were able to get 2 years as opposed to three, that, you know, less years is considered more team friendly. So the Giants, this would be a win for them with their three players, Belt, DeSclafani, and potentially Wood. There would be a predicted 6.5 years committed to those three players and an actual 6 years. And then $10.5 million is the predicted AAV for Alex Wood. And it sounds like if that deal does get finalized, that he would probably be signed for about exactly that amount. And so overall, it looks like their actual AAV handed out would still be slightly higher than the predicted AAV. But the total guaranteed money would come in below because the prediction was for 2.5 years. And therefore, the predicted total money handed out was $26.25 million to Alex Wood. And it sounds like it'd be more like maybe $21 million. We don't know for sure. All we know, all the report was more than $10 million per season. To me, that means 10 and a half, 11, but it doesn't mean like 15, right? It's so that's where I'm going with that. I think that it'll end up being like a two-year, $21 million deal roughly would be my guess. But if that's the case, that would come in significantly under the prediction of $26 million. That'd be about $5 million less than that. And so the total handed out by the Giants would be about $75 million, and the prediction would be for about $80 million. And so relative to the rest of the market, especially what I'm saying with starting pitchers, including Anthony DeSclafani, who came in at what was expected almost exactly, or actually a little bit more. The prediction was for $32 million and he got $36 million. But overall, starting pitchers are going for about 27% above total prediction for total guaranteed money. So if they can get Alex Wood for below that and DeSclafani for slightly above, they would be at about exactly the prediction. DeSclafani doing a little bit better and Wood doing a little bit worse, and then combined about exactly even with expectations. And so if the Giants are able to do that, it just would be another example of them making solid deals. And there's a lot of reasons why this is important. One of the main reasons that I actually don't talk about a lot, and so I want to get to that first, is that trade value. I think it's important for players to maintain having some trade value, basically because if the rest of the league determines that the players you have are earning more than what they would pay for them in the open market, that's negative trade value. And basically, in order to move that contract, you would have to pay money yourself or add a prospect, as we've seen in the past happen. Obviously, the Giants wouldn't be doing that because they're not a team that like is desperate to save money. But on the flip side of that, if you're paying someone less than a team deems them worth, then they have trade value, and you can basically get something in return if you came to a situation in which you felt the need to trade them. And that would be, you know, things go wrong in your season and you want to kind of recalibrate a little bit. It's just good to have players for market value or below market value deals. And obviously it's not necessarily ideal for the player, but they're free to sign. These are free agents, right? They can get whatever they can get. And part of the reason they may be compelled to come back to the Giants is because they flat out like it here. I mean, you're always going to be dealing with higher taxes playing in California and making all this money. And so that's a factor that comes into play as well. So you have to make it an attractive destination for these players. And I think the Giants have done that. And the other reason we've talked about is that you do have a finite amount of resources. Owners are not just throwing out $500 million payrolls. I don't know what the limit is for the Giants, and I don't think they want to like go right up against a limit. I think they want to give themselves some wiggle room, whatever it is that ownership feels comfortable doing. But, you know, Zaidi, they can't just acquire every single top free agent. Like, oh, sign Correa, sign Seager, sign Castellanos, sign Suzuki, Gausman, Robbie Ray, Max Scherzer, Clayton Kershaw. It's just not going to happen, right? And so you have your finite amount of money to spend, even though it's a lot of money, like $200 million maybe. You might as well get the best possible production out of the money you spend. And that's why, you know, you don't want to be paying guys more than they're worth. And so the Giants have done well so far with their two signings relative to the rest of the league, certainly. And if they add Alex Wood at the terms that are expected, then that's just going to be another solid deal for the San Francisco Giants. So coming up next, we're going to turn the page, get you ready for the upcoming week, and talking about what's going to happen with this expiration of the collective bargaining agreement. I do want to give a small note. It's not a small deal, but we don't have too much time to talk about it, but a big development in rights for minor leaguers. So all of that is coming up next. But first, it's Thanksgiving, and we all know what that means, football. And nothing goes better with football than turkey and betting. BetOnline has you covered all holiday season, more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the sports action this Thanksgiving. Head to our new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus with promo code LOCKEDON. And it's not just football. BetOnline has pro and college hoops, NHL, boxing, UFC, even your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, we are stuffed with Thanksgiving deals. All right, here we go. We're going to get you set for the upcoming expiration of the collective bargaining agreement. It is upon us. It is unfortunate. I hope that there's a frenzy of activity before the deadline. I hope the Giants are involved with that, because I don't want to sit out until February and March and potentially beyond waiting for anything to happen. That's going to be a real bummer. But I do have to say, we are going to be there all throughout covering these negotiations. It's kind of makes me a little bit angry that I've got to sit around and cover these two sides bickering publicly, which is what we're going to see. Just to get you set, if you're not aware, what's going on here is that the players, basically, they have to agree to a new collective bargaining agreement. The league, which is, you know, the owners, and the players' union. That contract expires at midnight Eastern on December 1st at 11:59 Eastern. I keep saying midnight, but it's December 1st at night is the expiration of the collective bargaining agreement. And if they don't reach a new agreement before then, the league can institute a lockout, and it would put a freeze on transactions. And it's not a huge deal in the short term, because we are in December or November now, but entering December. But when it becomes a big deal is when we're supposed to have teams and players reporting to spring training, and when we're supposed to have games around the corner. That's potentially the threat here, is that the league is basically holding over the players the threat of not paying them because there's no agreement in place. But the league, of course, wouldn't be making money themselves from ticket revenue and gate revenue, and the whole operation would shut down on both sides. So it would be bad publicly, right? Nobody likes seeing these two groups fight in public. And the thing is, the players want fundamental change, and for good reason. There are a lot of issues that need to be addressed, and the players are completely right, in my opinion, to want changes in these areas. They, like, the whole system is kind of needs to be recalibrated and isn't really fair anymore. As teams have gotten smarter, they have taken advantage of the system. And basically, the way the system is now, players earn less when they're contributing at their most. You know, when they're their most valuable, their salaries are artificially kind of suppressed by pre-arbitration and arbitration. And they're not really eligible to make any money until they have 6 years of service time. I mean, they can make money in arbitration, but those salaries are suppressed. Like I've rattled off numerous times, you know, this winter, the Giants have 7 arbitration eligible players. And for example, Darren Ruff, who's kind of been a monster for the Giants, can be retained for roughly $2.5 million. Dominic Leone, $1.5 million. Mike Yastrzemski, $3 million. What would these guys make if they were on the open market? These aren't necessarily the best examples around the league. You know, lots of players make, who are like stars, have their salaries suppressed through this process. So the players want fundamental change in that regard, and competition. They don't want teams tanking, which we're seeing more and more around the league. Thankfully, the Giants haven't been one of those teams. Like when Farhan Zaidi came in, a lot of people expected a full-scale teardown by the Giants in order to rebuild their team, because a lot of teams do that. But we are very lucky. Speaking of gratitude and thanksgiving, for me, as it pertains to the Giants, we are just fortunate, in my opinion, to be fans of this team that cares a great deal about putting out a competitive product and winning. And Farhan Zaidi, as an executive, doesn't believe in that. He doesn't believe in tearing down in that way. And he proved why, right? Like, people thought this team should be torn down, and instead he turned it into the best regular season in franchise history in just a few years without really fundamental change to the core of a lot of the roster. So anyway, I feel very grateful for that. But those are among the issues that the players care about right now. Lastly, just because I said I would say it, I've been meaning to mention that there's just been a huge victory for minor league player rights. And this is a big issue that I haven't really talked about much on my podcast, but it's something I do care about and should talk about more and wish I did. But a big win for minor leaguers, because they have won this. The league is going to supply housing to minor leaguers beginning, I believe, in 2022. And there's still issues with pay. They still don't make enough money as they should, but there's no longer going to be this situation where players are having to pay for their own housing while they're not making very much money. And they end up in these kind of not ideal situations at all, where they're, you know, bunking together with too many people in a room and sleeping on air mattresses and all that. But now every player who wants it gets a real bed and housing provided to them. So a big win. And I just wanted to mention that, especially in, you know, with Thanksgiving. Not that it's a thing of generosity. The league didn't do it without serious pressure being put on them. So it's a big deal. and very happy about that. The next kind of frontier, I would say, I'm not the number one authority on this, but we'll talk about it more. But anyway, better pay for minor leaguers would be the next kind of area and place that I hope there's improvement. So anyway, have a great weekend. We'll be back on Monday. I expect there's going to be some activity this weekend as the holiday passes and this expiration of the CBA nears. So come back for Locked On Giants every single weekday. Once again, my name is Ben Caspick. You can follow me on Twitter at Ben Caspick. And if you would, please like this show and leave a review wherever it is that you're listening. It helps me out so much. So thank you in advance. Thank you to everyone who's done so already. You can also like, comment, and subscribe on YouTube. That also helps me out so much with the YouTube algorithm. Excuse me. Anyway, have a great weekend. I can't wait to be with you again on Monday. You are now Locked On Giants.